last time, we start talking about truly the essence of the difference between the light and the vessel, the true essence of the difference. And we also teach you the word atzmuto, essence. Atzmut, it means essence. We know we have the endless, the light, that come from the essence. Above essence, you have creator. So you'd say that first thing you need to understand and remember and know is that the light don't change. It's a phenomenal concept that we studied last time. Light never change. So once you relate to the light and the light change, you already consider yourself as a sinner, as a criminal. For example, many people think that if they pray well, or if they give charity, or if they be nice to people, then God will be a little bit kinder to them. So that means God was not kinder half an hour ago. That's called change within the Creator. You're not allowed to think so. That's not allowed. That's forbidden from a spiritual point of view, because that means you think of the light that the light is shifting. The light cannot shift. The light stays the same the whole time. Never change. Never change. It's a tremendous understanding if you think about it. Because when you come to pray, you don't pray for the light to give it to you. The light give it to you. You pray for the light, please help me to change me so I can receive what you want to give it to me. So the whole thing to start to me, transformation, is starting from the inside. Religion helps you to transform from outside. And that's where we all get confused. I think all people. It's not just religious people. I believe everybody is religious. Some people are religious to eat only vegan. Some people are religious to talk Christianity or Judaism or Islam. Religion doesn't mean just religion. It can be closed-minded, a dogma, something that a person is closed-minded about something and is not open. You know, like soon, in I don't know how many years, people will say you don't have mercy on the vegetables that you kill. Now it's only animal. Soon you will see. I'm telling you, remember the time. I'm saying it. And you will read it on the news. People will say you don't have mercy on the celery. Soon. And people tell you when you cut the roses from the garden, say, leave them to grow. You know, they tell you this. But the roses make the house more beautiful. You bring it home, it brings it more beautiful. The smell, nice, everything about it. But because people think from a point of void, from a point of missing, from a point of how can you treat the animal like this? You cut the cow, you cut the sheep, you cut the goat. You know, but we need to understand that the picture of this universe operating between a relationship to the creator, to human being. Don't ever forget this. That's a man story. Do not go sidetrack. Human and God. What about the dogs, the cat? I think that might be reincarnation of human in them. But otherwise, there is no use for them. Don't look at the dog and the cat and the bee and the flower as like important part. They are a decoration for the human to accomplish their tikkun. And it doesn't have to make your ears like it. It's not about that. If you like your dog, you like your cat, keep liking the dog and the cat. But if that's become a replacement for loving a human being, you're a sinner. You understand? You have to be able to love a human more than you love your dog, more than you love your bicycle, more than you love your car, more than you love your cat, more than you love your bee. You know, you got to practice. That's a practice of humanity. Why? Because through that, you start acting like the light. So is this true that if I give and if I be nice, I have more good luck and things happening better? I want to say yes, and it is yes, but I have to be careful here. Because if I say yes, it might confuse you. So you might fall into the belief that if you do good, God will have mercy on you, and then God change. But you cannot think this way. The basic understanding here, if you change your behavior and start giving when you don't want to give, you have an affinity, you have connection to the light of the Creator, and because of that, your life starts changing. So, okay, it's very important to understand. It's a basic, and I want to hope that tonight's lecture will be like spread it to all over the world in the best way we can. So we understand a very important subject here. Because most people think the light changed now, light is a good mood with me, because I did well. That's when the light like you when you're good and hate you when you're bad. So that's when the light is no longer the light. It's no longer the creator. It's no longer the essence. The change never takes place in the creator point of view. Okay? Any question on that? Now, so we continue. Until that light didn't arrive to the receiver. You can call the receiver emanated. You can call the receiver a vessel. You can call the receiver a container. Ne'etzal. Rav Ashla call it ne'etzal. Ne'etzal means, I'll just say it. Emanated. Emanated, the one that being emanated by something else. So the creator is emanator, and the receiver is emanated. That's like the little translation of Rav Ashlag. דיינו, כל מה שלא הגיע לבחינת התלבשות בכלים, כי רק אז יצא מגלל עצמותו התברך. Until the light didn't meet the kelim, kelim mean vessel, or cups, or container, until the light didn't meet that, and become emanated, that receiving, and these new things happen only within the vessel, only within the receiver, only within the emanated. We call this new thing ratzon lekabel. Ratzon means desire, lekabel means to receive. That exists b'ne'etzal. It exists within the emanated. And this desire, הרצון הזה אף על פי שהוא רוחני, even it's a spiritual desire, מכל מקום, even though, הוא ודאי חידוש צורה, והוא מקרה. This is a new form, and we call this new form חידוש צורה, additional form, or מקרה. מקרה mean coincidence. It's a weird word that he say, but coincidence, meaning it seems like it don't belong there, because it doesn't make any sense. Because if the light is only giving, where is the receiving force even came from? If the creator is only giving, how is receiving force begin to exist? Because you can only give whatever you have inside of you. A person can't give something he doesn't have inside. You cannot teach kids patience if you don't have patience. I always tell parents, if you want to talk to your kids about something that you don't have, always start with, I'm taking full responsibility of both of us in that, but let's help each other. But you cannot tell your son or your daughter something is wrong with them if you're doing the same wrong thing. Can't do it. If you're lazy, can't tell them how come you're lazy. Because you're lazy. Okay? But in the light, create something that the light didn't have inside. It's receiving. So that thing we call yesh me'ayin. Yesh mean there is. Ayin mean nothing. Something from nothing. If you want the real translation. So the receiving force is something from nothing, because it wasn't there. And we call it coincidence. Why is it called coincidence? Because mikre, it just randomly, because it doesn't make sense. It didn't come in the process of creation, but it's there. Ki no noeg bechach ba'atzmuto itbarach, because this is, cannot come from the essence of the creator. The essence of the creator is only giving. How can we find here all of a sudden receiving? מה שאין כן באור שמתלבש בו שהוא אינו מחודש, שהרי נמשך מעצמותו יתברך. The light that going into the vessel, the light that going into the container, is actually yesh mi yesh. Something from something. Right? The vessel is something from nothing. Do you understand what I'm saying? Because the light behave the same like the emanator. The light behave the same like the creator. The same like whatever come from above. So if it's the same like whatever come from above, that means it doesn't make sense because this is yesh me'ayin. So we have two aspects here. We have yesh me'yesh and yesh me'ayin. Yesh me'yesh, something from something, is the light. When you take the light, as the light come and basically going into the vessel, the light, the essence of the light, the essence of the fulfillment, it's coming also from the creator. So we call it yesh me'yesh. But when you talk the receiver is yesh me'ayin. Because there is no receiver in the emanated, in the emanator. There is no receiver in the giver force. There is only giver. So how can a giver create something that's been received? So that's why we call that aspect, that axiom, yesh me'ayin. Something from nothing. What do we call the light that's going inside the container, inside the vessel, inside the receiver? We call it yesh b'yesh. Okay, from now on we know the code. So the light that's going inside the container, yesh b'yesh. All right? Yesh b'yesh. So what's the difference between the water that comes from the faucet to the water in my glass? No different. That's what's called yesh b'yesh. But the glass is different. So this wasn't exist within the water. Can you imagine one day as you pour water for yourself, it will create the glass at the same time? Why are you laughing? It will happen. It will happen with a 3D printer. No? It will print 3D the cup while you're pouring the water. Question, what's come first? Most people will say the receiver. I will tell you the giver. giver always creates the receiver, receiver never creates the giver. Most people get confused then. People say, first I want, then I will have. First, some force want to give you, and that's why you want it. That will change your entire life, how you think about things. The universe want to give you something, and that's why you automatically awaken a receiver. I say it on Monday, on 7 p.m., and I say something that is very important. It's come actually from the Baal Shem Tov. And I said, think about it. When the Creator gives you something, a gift, all of a sudden you think about you. You think you pray well, you did well, you change, you become more spiritual, you become nicer. You don't connect that giving into the Creator. So basically, a lot of time people become religious or spiritual and they disconnect themselves from the Creator. I don't know if it's clear what I'm just saying. Why? Because as a religious person, whatever you wear, a yarmulke, cross, or you pray five times a day, you do Hinduism or whatever you like to do, which is your way to connect to God, you got to connect in a way that you understand that from the light there is no change. It's very important, understanding. Because once you understand that part, things start to make sense. So what happened? I make an example on Monday. I share an example. I said, a father buy a car to his son. The son feel that he tricked the father because he was able to manipulate the father to buy him a car. But it's disconnected from the idea that the father gave him a car. Everybody understand that? It's a very important example. If I give you a gift, let's say Bill Gates tomorrow see you, you pick up the phone, Bill Gates call you, say, listen, my group are watching all what you're doing on Facebook, on Twitter, we really like you, we'd like to give you $1 billion. You first appreciate it, half an hour later, what's going to happen? Well, finally, somebody watched my Facebook video. You understand? What's happening to us as human, we are disconnected from the giver. We are aware of what we did for it to happen to us. So all of a sudden, a husband remembered the anniversary, or the wife remembered the anniversary, or the wife cooked dinner, or it's Mother's Day, right? So the husband and the kids make a big party for the wife. It's unbelievable. Okay? Now the wife can look at it in two ways. One, finally they're nice. Finally they make a cake. Finally they do good. That's from the vessel. Or she will say, wow, this is unbelievable how they all remember. So how do you develop it in a real life? What do you need to do that you always connect to that yesh mi yesh? Because if you connect yesh mi yesh something from something, you connect always to the light. So the tool, and it's not mentioned here, and I don't like to mention something Rav Ashlag don't mention. So it's not Rav Ashlag, it's just my idea. So you take it or leave it. If it works for you, take it. If it's not, do not take it. What I share with most of my students, that when you have appreciation for everything, you always connect to the giver. When you don't have appreciation for things, you're always looking at it from the receiver point of view. Meaning, person is thirsty in the desert, he's dying. Somebody found him and gave him a glass of water. He looked at that person like God. Half an hour later, they're in the jeep, he keep drinking water. Now he start complaining that the chair in the car is not so comfortable. And the driver driving too fast. And the restaurant he took him to, not so good. And then the next thing, he start teaching the other guy what to do. It happened to all of us. So that's why I say appreciation is a kind of a vessel. It's a kind of a unique way. And most people think appreciation from a manners point of view. Meaning I appreciate that to make a favor, to say thank you. No. And that's what many parents do this mistake. They want the kids to appreciate them. The appreciation is for the kids, it's not for the parents. If the parents has a need to be appreciated, they already killed it. They killed the whole thing. Because now you become the receiver again. You understand? You flip back to become the vessel. A girls want to appreciate by a guy want to appreciate by the girl, the same thing. Oh, he doesn't appreciate me, he doesn't consider of my time. You want it, that creates already a problem because you become a receiver. You know, you look at people that always appreciate. I don't know if you met people like this. I met many people in my life, which I was like, wow. You know, you look at it and said, wow. How do God create angel like that? And they always look into the appreciation part. And I remember It was one person, live in California, that I decided to challenge him. I want to see if it's for real. The guy will look at everything, is perfectly okay. So I can't take it. I just can't take it. So I was giving a big speech. It was 200 people, and I bother him. I pick up on him. I want to see what he say in the end of the class. Like, I pick up on him. I don't know, remember his sign. Give him a hard time. So in the end, I purposely went after the lecture. I said, how was the seminar for you after 3 hours? So let me tell you, Eliyahu, I don't know, you read my mind. You talk just about me. I felt your love. I said, this guy is finishing me. It doesn't work. Then I revealed to him. I told him, listen, I try everything to bother you. I thought he would go for this one. So he said, no, I don't know what you're saying. Even now you're trying to give me. I said, no, I'm not trying to give you. I'm trying to bother you. So no, he would not be able to see the bed. Unbelievable. So sometimes you meet people like that, that they are connected to yesh be yesh. They connect always to that giving of light to them. They're not connect to the idea yesh be'ain, kederech mikre, as Rav Ashda call it. Chidush tzura v'u mikre. Ki ino noeg ve'echach be'atzmuto yitbarach. Those things don't exist within the essence of the Creator. The Creator don't know how to receive. God doesn't know how to receive. So when you create a receiving force within you, you create this affinity. You create blockage between you and the light. It should be the opposite, right? You should say, hey, God want to give, I want to receive, everybody's happy. It should be this way. But it's created this affinity. Let's go deeper. מה שאין כן באור שמתלבש בו שהוא אינו מחודש, שהרי נמשך בעצמותו ידבר מבחינת יש מן יש. ומכל מקום עניין הפעלת האור העליון במידת הכלי, דהיינו מבחינת מה שהכלי מתפעל ומקבל מהאור העליון. When we talk about the receiver, the vessel, the container, we're talking about the amount of how the vessel received the light, and midat ha'itpa'alut. Itpa'alut, close to appreciation, but it's not being amazed. Being amazed. Itpa'alut, it's being amazed. You ever saw kids being amazed for the first time by something? This amaze is decide the size of your container. So your container is not enough of what you receive. You also have to look at how much you've been amazed with what you receive. All right? Always is two sides to your receiving. Being amazed and how much you want it. All right? So we're going to Costa Rica. Right? We're going to Costa Rica. We all have big desire to go to Costa Rica, do a spiritual retreat there for love and relationship. Love it. When we get there, after 2 days, okay, we saw the blue ocean enough already. What is this going on? The being amazed don't last. It pa'alut ha'kli. דיינו בכלל מה שהכלי מתפעל ומקבל מהאור עליון, נופל עליו גם כן בחינת חידוש ומקרה. בהכרח כמובן, אתה יודע שכל החידושים של ג'ובת הקודל, אני מה עוסקים, רק בערך התפעלותו של הכלי וקבלתו מהאור עליון. Very good. What happened to the light, once the light going in to the container, it start being touched by the container. So the tea that is here, or the water that is here, is not the same water which is in the faucet. Because the faucet is endless water. I'm just using water as an example. Right? Different when it takes the shape of the cup now. So now the water starts to be influenced by the receiver. So the receiver itself affecting the force that went inside as a giving. So as much as what inside is no longer the cup, it becomes the cup. Is that clear? It's kind of profound. Repeat it again. As much as Rav Ashlag and Da'ari write that there is a big difference between from the receiver point of view to the giver point of view, that the giver is the creator or the emanator, and the receiver is the emanated. But because the production of the emanator, that's called light, went into the emanated, is no longer in the domain of the emanator, is no longer in the domain of the giver, and it's going into the domain of the receiver. And because of that, it starts to get affected by that. And we're going to discuss soon what happened. So now the light is no longer the same light that left the emanator. Okay? Yes? Yes. This is from the point of what happened to the light as the light touched the emanated. So because the emanated now, based on the desire and based on the being amazed or being appreciative of that, affecting what's inside. If you put, give the same gift to people, not everyone wanted the same, not everyone want, will be appreciative of that. Two people, same gift. Here you go, nothing. How come? How come? It's like the two rabbi that have been invited to do the dinner, to do that wedding dinner. One get upset, right? And never get the food, and never get the music. And one get everything, the whole kavod, the whole everything, the donation. How can that be? They both as two the same thing. How can it be, right? Because you need to know how you've been amazed by that and how much you truly desire. So if you don't truly desire it, if you're not truly amazed by that, you're not going to receive it. It's not something you want. Or if you want to talk from a different angle, when you appreciate what you have now, it's always give birth to itself every day. Can you appreciate your wife or your husband you're married to for a long time? Can you appreciate your house, the living there for a long time? Tough, you know? Usually people wake up in the morning, look at the pillow, call me and said, I think my wife has a big nose. Say, is this a new delivery? Say, well, I just realized. There is thing like this, I'm serious. I said, what happened? I mean, 3 years ago it was okay. So we married for 6.5 years and nose is big. So that's kind of a thing. What happened? No amaze and no desire. So when the desire go down, amaze go down, what happened when people do drugs, for example? Drugs. What happened to people who do drugs? Their desire becomes small. So what happened to their amaze level? Become high. That's why it's called high. Why? Why they become high on being amazed? Because when the vessel shrink, everything can fulfill it easily. People think taking drugs make your desire bigger. Like they say, oh my God, I saw the water. I remember about 20 years ago, somebody tried to convince me that LSD is God. They even told me the initial is God, 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 God. LSD is God. Okay? And I had the privilege to meet this person after 20 years again, today. So I said, you know what? I'm not judging you. I just want to tell you one time you scared me. You came to me and you talked to me about LSD. Like I want to sell it to me like it would be the best thing ever. And you scared me. That's why I didn't want to talk to you. And the idea, he saw what he saw. He saw a drop of water on the leaves that it's like alive. He saw green leaves that move. He saw, I don't know, a bucket of water like a swimming pool that God put the water from the moon into the something. So whatever. How come? We don't see it. So we can say, well, you're going to connect, you got to do this, you got to do that. Take these pills, take ayahuasca, take cocaine, take what else? You get all the list of things. But that's usually make the vessel smaller. Don't make this vessel bigger. The vessel becomes smaller, that's why you know more. And one of the things people ask me, I had too many phone calls about drugs today, so I want to make sure I'm clear on that. Many people ask me about this thing. There is a fashionable thing to do ayahuasca now. Ayahuasca is the roots. I studied the whole thing from Peru or from Africa. They have another roots now. And people take it. Or lawyers take it. Doctors let it. It's become fancy now. And they drink it to tea. And then something happened to them. I don't familiar with that. So they happen to them and they start seeing things, which is, or they losing weight because something, your stomach, or you know, you throw up, or you, whatever. But one of the things that I say, and I'm not here to be the policeman of God, never claim to be the policeman of God. But one of the things that I say, that a lot of time when you open yourself to see, there's other things in the area. When you study about spirit and demons and angel, there is two groups. When you study deep Kabbalah, you understand the demon divided to three levels. Okay? But if you decide to do it, just be careful. That's all what I'm saying. Just watch out. Who are you doing it with? What kind of group? And so on and so on. I don't recommend it, but if some people, I cannot stop them from doing it, and they want to do it, who am I to tell them not to do? I'm just saying that in the area, there is all kind of things. So you become the vessel, and whatever in the area, going in. You know, most of the cases in mental hospital is because the spirit went in. That's it. That's what happened. So once the spirit come in, what we call possessed or debook, is no longer, the person is no longer themselves. For example, one of the things that Ari said, never drink from a river like a dog. Never go to the river and drink like that. Because most killers reincarnate into a waterfall in the river. Most killers, when you see a waterfall, stay away. Enjoy it. Enjoy the view. Take a picture. Just be careful. Take a cup or make your hand into a vessel. And make it into a container. You understand? And then do Baruch Ata Shehakol Nehya Bedvaro, and then drink it. Okay, so, because a lot of people that are weird, that become like super smart and good people, all of a sudden hold the gun and start shooting everybody, and nobody know what happened to them. Nobody know what happened to them. A lot of time, if you look, if you have time tonight, go and find out the history of those people. If they visit some places before, a day before they went to the desert, a day before they went somewhere. So it's when you go deep into mystical side, you start to understand what's going on. So just be careful. All what I'm saying, just be careful. Unfortunately, I lost many people who are using drugs, and I don't want to lose anybody who use things. You know, I just want to keep you here as long as I can. Okay? As long as I can. You know? So just understand. The vessel get affected by the light coming in, but the vessel also affect the light that come in. So he write like that. ותדע שכל החידושים והשתלשלות המדרגות הנ"ל אינם עוסקים רק בערך התפעלותו של הכלי וקבלתו מהאור העליון. כי זה לבד מקבל השינויים והריבועים. אמנם האור שלעצמו נמצא תמיד בבחינת המנוחה המוחלטת, בהיותו מתפשט מעצמותו התברך. והבן זה היטב. You need to know that the light that comes from the creator, that keep coming, because the light flow, it never stop, okay? The light that's already in the vessel take the shape, like the soul take the shape of your body. How is your soul look like? Debbie will give a class after that for women for 20 minutes. So she will teach from Shlach Lecha about the soul. How is actually the soul look like in the upper world? What is exactly we look like after people die? So they tell you they look exactly like your body, just a body of light. I hope I'm not taking that away from you. No, man, this was a synopsis to antipasto, a little bit. Antipasto. Did you like that part? It's the best part, no? No, but there is so much more. There is so much more. Anyway, so the idea is to understand that our shape of our body looks exactly like the soul. Because the body affecting the soul, even the soul is not body. Soul is actually light. But every time you're doing something negative, every time you do something positive, you're shaping your soul with your body. It's very, very important. You want to know how you look like, but not with the details of the eyes. Just light, a bubble of light. Beautiful, no? It's beautiful. That's how we look like. And people know there is no... Okay, I don't want to take a... I read what she prepared. It's very nice. Right. Anyway, the light itself, נמצא במנוחה המוחלטת. The light itself never move. מנוחה מוחלטת, מנוחה mean absolute rest. And that's why when you have a need to move, right? Need to move, for example, my teacher, the Rav, when he pray, he never move. Okay? And he always told me, because I grew up in a religious school, so we train to move the body. And even if the Rav wrote in one of his books that the soul of a human being is like a flame of a candle, so it's always ever need to move. But my teacher never moved when he did Amida. He didn't move even half an inch, nothing, like this. And he used to use the right hand or the left hand, like that, or like that. Like that, or like that. Why? Because that's called chesed. It's called gvura. So chesedim me'al gvurot. Always mercy above judgment. So you do it. Not even move. Because I remember I used to be his chazan. I used to be it's called cantor. I don't have a voice of a cantor, but he always chose me to be the one who pray. And as much I used to go to him, I said to him, Rav, you know, I grew up going to shul all the time and pray, and I don't like it. Is it okay to give me a little bit of a break? I said, that's great you told me that. From now on, you will be my designated chazan. It's funny. Now, you don't understand Sukkot, we used to pray, you have no idea, like 4 hours. 4 hours for one little meditation. I was collapsing. I couldn't take it. Couldn't take it anymore. You're holding the etrog and lulav like that, and your hand is numb. You can't do it anymore. But from the Rav, I learned that how much to get excited about different aspects like Sukkah, Rosh Hashanah, to understand it. But again, remember, the light is b'menucha ha-muchletet. Light never moves. It's always rest. בהיותו מתפשט מעצמותו התברך, והבן זה היטב, תזכור זה במשך כל הלימוד בחוכמה הזאת, בכל מילה ומילה ממש. רב אשלה גזרסקי, please remember, for the rest of the study, that the light never moves. That's why I repeat it today. ולפעמים עבור תבין היטב כי האור העליון אינו פוסק ולהאיר לנאצלים אפילו לרגע. The light, the upper light never stopped to shine for the emanated even one second. The light always shine. So I hear sometimes people, unfortunately, one of the worst places to visit people is in a hospital. Second worst place to visit people is in a graveyard, in a cemetery, when people lose loved one. Sad, very sad. And when you visit there, people usually scream and yell, light, light. God, God, where are you? Where are you? God never left. It never changed. You understand? Bad or good, never. It don't belong in God's universe. But from our point of view, we have good and bad. Okay? I remember when I buried my father, you know, I was living in Florida at that time. So I flew to Israel. They waited for me about 6 hours to arrive. I arrived. And of course, most of the family, or most of my friend who was there, said, you know, but in a way, it was good because he was sick for 11 years, Parkinson's disease. So my mom, I think, out of a tradition to scream or to yell, she did it. She didn't really, but it's kind of a shame that everybody do it in the cemetery. You got to do it too. So I was holding her hand, and I whispered into her ears, and she stopped right away. I said, Mom, we don't bury him. What do you mean? We don't bury him. We bury his shirt. That's what we bury. You cannot bury your husband. Can you bury him? And that's where she gets quiet. Don't bury him. Can you bury him? Can you bury a person? Who told you that? So you bury. It's almost the way I explain it to people. You know, when you go to buy a shirt in Macy's, they have those magnet plastic thing. So on the way out, you have to go to that machine thing. The ground is the machine that take out the needle. And that's why people have to be buried in the ground. That's not like tradition of Jewish or Christian. You have to go in the ground because the ground is malchut. And the malchut take down the body so the soul can elevate. Understand? So I know this tradition with fire, this tradition, the ice, in the cement, there is a thousand, there is a bowl of each other. Whatever it is, the ground has to touch the body. Whatever happened, ground has to touch the body. Must touch the body. Must. And that's why if you go to a Jewish cemetery, they're always the bottom, they don't tell you this, but a banam is made from a thin wood. I can't believe I'm talking about cemetery now. Or the halachot. Because the wood, once they throw it, break in the bottom. So the dirt can come in. But they don't tell it because it's illegal. Don't tell it to California. So the rabbi usually do it like that. Thin wood in the bottom. It all looks beautiful, but in the bottom it almost can crack. And when you let it go, it all crack. In Israel, it's different. You bury without nothing. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But the idea is that the ground will touch the body. Now, if a person is tzaddik, you cover them with tachrichim from linen. Because linen is the most powerful thing to prevent from negative forces. Because once the body is buried, the body is very respectful. It has a soul inside. The dark side arrives a second after the person has been buried. 1 second. The show begins right after you leave. You think it's over. It just started there. So in there, if you, one day I will do a lecture not on camera and I will tell you what's going on there. Oh my God. This is like the show began after a person died. What you're seeing here, this is a joke. The show began and there is all details, day by day, what happened every day. I'm not talking about physical. Angel, which angel come, what happened. It's unbelievable. Once you study that, you say, okay. Now I know what's going on. What do you want to ask?
Cremated,
you know, it's different. You need to, the best you can is to bury the ashes. The best thing you can do, bury the ashes. But better, well, let's talk future, because if we talk past, we're going to get depressed about things I did too, you know. But if we talk future, the body need to be live alone, because it doesn't live alone the soul. Because the soul is three part. The soul is neshama, ruach, and nefesh. Neshama and ruach live as the person died. The nefesh in the body, even after a person died, before the burial, it's still there. Can you imagine? It's still there. So even in the freezer, nefesh still there, never left. Nefesh is the lowest part of the soul. So when the burial takes place, that's for the nefesh. And then the nefesh bit abelet, the nefesh sitting on the grave for 7 days first. That's why it is Shiva, now you know why 7 days. It's not just they came up with some numbers. So 7 days, The nefesh is going from house to the grave, house to the grave, because the nefesh not know that she died yet. So what's going on? Why nobody see me? Because the nefesh see everything. They're very much alive, 100% alive. Nothing happened to them. They look, nobody see them. That's why they cover the mirrors. Because the mirrors, because the nefesh look in the mirror and see nothing. So the nefesh gets shocked. You understand? So there's all things, not tradition. There's knowledge to it. We need to study. So now it's 7 days. That the nefesh slowly leave the body with tough procedure, actually, very tough. The most painful procedure. Because the nefesh has to realize the body is not me. Can you imagine that? Tough. Nefesh say, what's there? It's not me. This is me. Impossible. The reason we study spirituality, actually, it's for that, unfortunately, for those moments. Because those moments, it's a shock. Because the nefesh start to realize, this is just what, that's why tzaddikim, righteous people, very easy for them. They don't even need 7 days. They whoop, and they leave. Because I know, I never liked that body anyway. You know, they look, you just serve me, thank you very much for serving, cover, goodbye. And there's nothing going on. And they can reincarnate right away, the same day. That's righteous. Because there is no procedure. Then after 7 days, you have 30 days for all the part of the nefesh to leave. And then they go to school. The school for 11 months. 11 months for that school, the tough school. Depends on each person's level, but I don't know why we talk about reincarnation, but I guess we need to do some lecture on that, I guess, all right? I didn't think about it. You know, I used to give a lot of those lectures, but I don't know why I didn't do it. לפעמים מבואר תבין נטף כי האור עליון אינו פוסק מלהעיר לנצלים אפילו לרגע, ואינו נופל חס ושלום תחת המקרה והחידוש, אלא שהוא במצב המנוחה המוחלט וכל עניין הצמצום והסתלקות האור האמורים, כאן אינם אמורים לברך את פעלותו וקבלותו של הכלי. The light itself never change, never disappear. What happened after the tzimtzum? What happened when you say, I don't want the light, or I'm not amazed by the light? The light continued to be the same. The light never changed. The same amount of money, the same amount of health, the same amount of love. The only thing that changed is your desire to it, and how amazed you are by that. It's amazing. Kabbalato shel hakli ve'itpa'aluto. That's it. So they all existed in this universe, what you ever watching, right? Like my kids watch now a TV show together. I'm very proud of them. I don't know the name of the show. It's kind of too long, never end. But I'm very happy to watch them seeing it together. So it touched me that I see. So every time I'm sitting next to them, I fall asleep. I'm trying. So I'm trying to get into it, but it's like, how long is this guy? So yesterday after I see I'm falling asleep, I went upstairs and I hear screaming. What happened? So it was one part, but they are amazed. And they are desire that specific show. I was not desiring it, and I'm not amazed. Nothing. It doesn't do anything to me. Like, I don't have no idea what's going on. I have no idea what it's doing. So what make your life life, what make your living life life, is how you're amazed and how much desire you have for it. Now ask yourself, is there is an area in your life that you're not amazed by things that you have? Is there is one area like this? Is there is an area in your life that you don't desire what you already desired before? Like, remember the first car you bought, the first house you bought or you rent, the first shoes, the good shoes that you bought. You were like, wow, amazed and desiring it. What happened? So you see that in our generation, people slowly, slowly lose that amazed thing and they lose that desire. And what happened? They become depressed. So what do we need to give them? Anti-depression. Why? So they will not feel depressed when they're not amazed and desire. Don't fix the desire and amaze. Just shut down the depression, right? Right? This is the solution for everything. Just painkiller. What is a painkiller? To convince your body you have no pain. That's it. But there is pain. Hello, I have pain. I have pain from the matzah bakery like already 6 weeks. I went to do a matzah with those few rabbis here. I'm telling you, my shoulder's still out. Every time I go fix it, put it back, coming out again. Crazy and so much pain. But what is that? That pain trying to tell me something. What is the shoulders? Like Louise Ray write about it. What are the shoulders mean? Am I carrying too much on me? Am I thinking I carry? You know, can I go into it? There is a process, you know? So am I amazed or desire the same thing I desired yesterday? It's a question, you know? The day that I wrote the children's book, I was amazed and desire. I was dancing. I didn't sleep all night, by the way. In the morning, 5:45, I wrote the book. Sunday morning, 5:45. And it didn't take me a long time. You need to know. 45 minutes or maybe 1 hour. That's it. So today I get a phone call from somebody in New York, in Upper East Side, touched me so much. So he ordered the book on Amazon. And his son, who met me one time, said, "Is this book really written by Eliyahu Jian?" And I was crying. I said, "Wow. You know, I'm amazed again, and I'm desired again to see kids." So people send me different pictures with kids holding it. I think this desire should be in me, and this amaze should be in me. That's how I draw the thing that already exists. I don't create things. I'm drawing what already exists. So in your life too, if you don't feel you have what you want to have in your life right now, you're not amazed about it, or you're not truly desiring it. You know, you go like, "Okay, very nice, what's for lunch?" Can't do that. It's to be amazed. Be amazed. Amazed people are happy. People who are not amazed are depressed. Very simple. Be amazed. I look at the tea and say, "Wow, what a tea. How many times I drank that tea? Maybe 10,000 times. Same kind. Can I be amazed like the first time? Hard. But you have to ignite that forcing you. Forcing you. You gotta. And once you do that, things change. Because the fulfillment is always the same. Being amazed about the fulfillment and desire the fulfillment, not the same. That's the only change in this universe. Nothing ever changed. Nothing ever changed. Can you imagine? Nothing. Nothing ever changed. I remember, I give you a few stories so you get me. We arrived to Hong Kong, let's say. Huh? What a city, right? I couldn't sleep from being amazed and desiring it. People are, Debbie call Hong Kong, New York on steroids. Even the escalator moving fast. I don't know if you've ever been there. The escalator moving double fast than normal escalator. And they have escalator from all the way, like downtown, all the way to the city where people live. It's unbelievable. And things are happening, and nightlife, and this and that. And wow. People are in the street every night. Every night. Young people are there every night. English, American, Dutch, Chinese, everything. And happy and loving each other. So we amazed for one day, 2 days, third day. We found this vegan place. 4 days. 6 days, start pushing it. So, oh my God, I miss my kids. I'm not amazed anymore. And we start counting the day. I said, "Debbie, can we change the ticket?" I said, "I can't change the ticket. It's a lot of money." I said, "I'm not amazed. I'm losing my amazed part." When we came, the hotel would look good. People were amazing. We never saw so many Chinese in one room. We never saw like that. It was amazing about everything. The service was perfect. Wow. We went to that sushi place. It was amazing. We went there 3 times. First time was amazing. Second time was close to be amazing. Third time I said, "Why we are here? Why we came back here?" Remember that? And it was on my birthday. The whole people want to do a birthday for me. Can you imagine? What happened to my appreciation? That's what happened. How do you keep now the desire and the amaze keep going? Very good question. So you have to connect to the giver, not to the receiver. Because if you connect to the receiver, it's always going to shut down. And basically it will, with the time, disappear. But if you connect to the giver, you know, let's say somebody make a birthday party for you or a birthday dinner, right? So when somebody do a birthday something for you, you are focused on what they gave or who they are and what they are. If you focus on what you receive, you're always going to be unappreciative of that. Because you're coming from the vessel, from the container, from the emanated. The emanated doesn't have the ability to continue to be amazing. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's very hard to ignite that force. You know, if you look to people that are always amazing, always excited, it's a gift. It's just a gift. Can you imagine a girl's going on a date and the guy is not amazing her in the beginning and she try again. And suddenly it's working out. I heard many stories like that. What happened? She found one good thing and she started to be amazed about it. And that amaze create now a fulfillment. She connect to what he or she wanted to give. So now it looked different. It don't look what I experienced. It looked like what he wanted to give. He looked at what he wanted to give. He doesn't look at what he wanted to receive. And that's the whole point. That's the whole point. If you think about it, that will change everything. And it's like that. אלא רק בערך התפעלותו וקבלתו של הכלי, דיינו לנקודה אמצעית. פירוש, אף על פי שהאור העליון לא פסק מלהעיר, מכל מקום, הכלי לא קיבל עתה כלום מהערתו, משום שמייתה את עצמה. דיינו שמייתה את הרצון לקבל. Now, let's talk a little bit about Tzimtzum. What happened? Now, because the vessel, what did the vessel say to the light? I don't want anything anymore because I want to be like you. Once the vessel decrease the desire, light cannot come in. So whenever you don't have what you want, it's not because the light don't want to give it to you. It's because you decide either not to want it, you don't have enough desire, or you don't have enough, I don't want to say appreciation, but being amazed about it. So then level of desire start to go down. Immediately, the fulfillment start to go down. So fulfillment is not going down from the point of the light. The light never forget about you. The light always giving. But the light not allowed, because there is a law that say, no coercion in spirituality, en kfiya beruchani. Not allowed. You're not allowed to force something on someone, spiritually. Can't do it. Can't do it. Meaning the light wanted to give, but the vessel said, I don't want to receive. What are you going to do now? There's nothing to be done. Nothing to be done. So if you ask yourself if there is one area in your life that you're not fulfilled, or thing not happening for you yet, you're not really desiring. You're lying to yourself, days and night. You said, I want it, I want it, I want it, I want it. What are you ready to do for it? Nothing. Then you don't want it. The effort that you're ready to do for something show how much you want it. Some people in a tough situation make a living. Some people in a terrible situation find a way to eat. Some people find something all the time. I met a person. I went to pray a little bit late. I wake up late today. I went to pray. So there is somebody in the place where I go that know me for many years. So he came to me and said to me, Eliyahu, you know, you went through a lot of things in the last 6 months. And he's very depressed. Like he's down, depressed, he's nervous, he's angry, everything is bad. So he said to me, how come you are smiling? And this, I said, first, bli ayin hara. Second, it's not enough to leave something you don't like anymore. It's what you become after that. Many people leave something they don't like. I know many husbands and many wives that left their husband and wife. But they're always miserable. They never become better. So the miserable didn't leave. It's not that they left the wife. They left. You were miserable. You are a miserable.com. You don't get out of that disease. That needs to be changed. So if you are like this, what do you want? Do you want something to get better? It will never get better. Because it's based on the desire. So what is your desire? I'm working with a lady now. We might, Debbie and her might give a course. She's like a love coach. And Debbie will give the spiritual thing. And she does a lot of things. It's wonderful. It could be a wonderful course. And so I share with her what I think about women of our generation. So I said, I suggest usually to women that it's okay to hit on a guy. And usually women get upset when I say that. She wasn't upset. She said, I totally agree with you. So we are now in a different generation that the men get seductive by the wrong thing. And if a woman would not make a move, the men will continue to be dead. Forgive me. You know, nothing will happen. So the men need a CPR, a resurrection. So if this is, I meant it like seriously. So that means, what are you ready to do? That's a desire. What are you ready to do? I met many women that I would never thought they'd get married, but because of their desires, they're unbelievable. I met a woman that I remember she was superly overweight, like sick and everything like that. And I remember she came to me, she said, you Eliyahu? I said, I am. What happened? So she's in there, really, really like overweight. So me, give me one thing I need to change and I leave. Give me something. I said, I will say it in the hard way or the good way. She said, give it to me the hard way. So you need to lose weight. She said, I came here for spiritual advice. And that's what you tell me. She leave and lock the door, like drug the door on me. 2 months after she came back. I said, listen, now, I'm so sorry. I don't want this to go again. And screaming and all the teacher heard you screaming at me. I don't appreciate that. So now I want to talk to you. It was in Florida. So she sit there. She said, so last chance. What do you think? One advice. I said, I don't want to say it. She said, no, tell it me. I said, if you have enough desire, as I presented differently, to lose weight, I promise you things will change. Because with the losing weight comes something else. It's nothing to do with the body. It's nothing to do with the body. It's come with what you desire more. Do you desire the food more? Do you desire that this, what do you, your health? What do you desire more? And thank God. I mean, what she did with her body, I never met. I met many people who lose weight. Nobody do that. I think she lost like 135 pounds. But not 135, that the fat hanging there all the way to the floor. I'm talking about eating well. You know what I'm talking about, Yvette, right? You've been there. Strong, going to the gym twice, 5:30 in the morning, 9:30 at night. You ever met people like that? Eat well, bum, 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 bum. 1 year, it took her 1 year, no, one and a half year, but under 35 pounds. Take time, guys, it takes a long time, because the bad habit is the bad habit. So the question, do you have something in your life that you don't have now? Debbie wrote something on Facebook. She said, if you stay long enough time in a barbershop, your turn will come. I love it. So, and I don't know who said that, but the idea is you do something enough time consistently, it's going to happen. No more, it's going to happen. But it has to be more desire for that than the other one. That's it. If my desire now is to eat something that I like or something that I'm addicted to, I can't stop. So my desire is not to take care of myself in shape or be healthy. My number one desire is the cake. My second desire is to look good. Contradict each other. No, I'm not saying fat people don't look good, forgive me. I'm just saying whatever you want to achieve. So the idea is to get into a place that what is your goal in life? What is that you desire? Start making a plan and write on your refrigerator my list of desire. Now, how much you have been amazed by that desire? That's created the vessel to receive everything that already exists, include money. Include money. Include fame. God will give you the idea. Don't worry. You think God ever ran out of idea? The idea what to do with your business has already been written before you were born. Waiting for you to wake up. Do you desire it? Is your desire, number one desire, to make money? No problem. Money. Then if somebody insults you, don't get insulted. Because then your desire is going to be insulted. Become stronger than making money. Do you understand what I'm saying? Your desire has to be desire. And you have to be almost like fanatic about one desire. You have to be like almost OC, like a obsessive compulsive about that desire. Those people who play basketball, if you look at them, they don't even look. See, you try to do it. I'm looking 1 hour, nothing going, right? Because they're doing it all day long. All day long. That's their desire. You need to look at that like that. What is your desire? And if it doesn't manifest itself, it's because there is a different desire disturbing it. The light already have it for you. Now, why you even desire this? You didn't ask yourself. Why you wake up in the morning and desire something? Because the light that morning wake up to give it to you. So the desire can never come from the receiver. It always has to come from a giver. So once your mother want to give you a schnitzel, want to give you like a piece of meat, in automatically you will have a desire for that piece of meat. What came first? Creating the vanilla ice cream? Or desire the vanilla ice cream? Creating the vanilla ice cream. Most people do a mistake. I want vanilla, and I'm going to go ahead and get it. You're connecting to your desire. I want to make sure it's clear. The fulfillment always comes before the desire. But if you don't desire well, things will go wrong. I met people who survived from cancer. They are unique. And I met people who didn't, unfortunately. And I'm not telling you one is bad and one is good, by the way. The one who didn't survive, few people that I met, sad for me. Sad. Good people, spiritual people, wonderful people. When my sister had the cancer, I remember I went to her room, locked the door, and all what I want her to tell me is that she wants to stay alive. She'll leave me alone. At that time, I was not studying Kabbalah, I was studying hypnosis. I used to study hypnosis and how to do hypnosis, how to do it to myself, how to do it to others. So I studied only hypnosis, was my thing. So I said to her, I just want you to repeat after me, I want to stay alive. Now my mom, hearing me like speaking loud, and so I know my mom will come, so I locked the door. Now my mom locked the door, and she came home to basically leave us. Like the doctor said, there is no chance. And Baruch Hashem, thank God, miracle happened. And she overcome it. Okay? But it's not the end. She's now going through something similar now. Not the same, but similar, tough. You know? But it's profound. Profound to talk to her. Profound to... I had a conversation with my family on Monday for a long time. You know? And I did a little bit NLP, did a little hypnosis, a secret one, like not the way that you know I'm doing it. So I was talking, it's like I'm talking to you. And I say, she is so great. But she doesn't know she's great. So that's hypnosis. It's a quiet hypnosis. Make the person go up. So you cure them without they know. So we need to start only put desire in people. The rest will happen by itself. If the person don't have a desire and appreciation, being amazed and a desire, it doesn't matter how much you give them. It's zero. It means zero to them. So I see parents giving the kids everything. I'll give you another story. Wealthy family from Boca Raton, Florida, one of the richest neighborhoods. So they asked me to coach their entire family, to come and watch and take note what's going on. So I'm going from one place, from one room to another room, from there, the house. The kids know, here's the detective arriving, he come to take some note. So they have a tennis court, and I see the kids playing tennis, and every time he miss, he take one of the new ball, they have about 1,000 new ball, it's expensive, and he throw it to the air, and it's going to the street. So I went to him, he was about 17, 16 and a half, you know, you don't mess with people like this, you know, it's muscly, meal, by yarmulke, I say, listen, boy, give me your racket. Take the racket now, I want you to hit your right ankle. So why is that? I said, why did you hit the ball? It wasn't the ball, it was your right ankle. You didn't want to move to the right, so that's why it happened. Now I want you to start doing that. Every time you do a mistake, ankle. The best part of it, I got a receiving now that he's after college and he was accepted to college because of his tennis skills. And he achieved like a very high level. So he wrote to me this week, which touched my heart. He said to me, I did what you told me about backhand. I also teach him about the backhand. I used to coach him. That the backhand used to be afraid. It's called a high backhand. He used to be afraid what he's going to do. So if you go with confidence, he's a very good player. If you go with confidence, the arm moves slow. So I used to go with him on the court. So, okay, here we go. And I told his coach, give him backhand the whole time, 1 hour. And I told him, whatever happened, you hit it backhand. There's no forehand in this game. And the guy becomes so good. Why am I telling you this? When the desire going into a place of appreciation, the desire, you win. But when you start to unappreciate it, the new ball, the new shoes, the new thing you have in your life, that's when it's diminished. That's when it starts to go away. It starts to fall apart. Now, I tell you something secretly, even more than that. Between couples, if they appreciate each other, the secret, they make the other person live longer. You may find it funny. Why? Because they are drawing the other person to stay. Because the soul want to live. Soul don't want to stay here. The soul want to die. So when you pull the soul back here, it's keeping the person alive. So once the soul, hey, I love you. Hey, I appreciate you. Hey, I want you. It's staying here. So when that, a lot of time you hear about problem in relationship, problem in money, problem in debt, and the desire to shrink and disappear, and that's a problem. So when I meet people who didn't make it or make it, not necessarily good or bad people. It's just people. But the one who make it, just repeat to themselves that they want to stay alive. Question is, what do you want from life? Do you want to stay alive? Do you want a soulmate? Do you want money? What is that you want? You got to focus on this one thing. You say everything, that's been nothing. People say, I want everything. The one thing they say, I want zero. Or somebody came to me and said, I'm making $30,000 a year. I said, how do you want to make next year? I want to make 220. Say, can't do it. So why not? Say, because the jump between 30,000 to 220, the brain cannot handle it. Your desire is to be developed every day, like develop a muscle. You get step by step. So when you say 220, it sounds big. All the teenagers now say, all the big shot after college, oh, I'm going to make 220. 220. 220. Go sell pizza. What's 220? Everybody play a big shot. And I respect all the people and whatever. See what you can do. And you grow this. Because once you have a confirmation that you can do it based on the desire that you want, confirmation means the light came to what your desire was, then because of that confirmation, you can believe in yourself. And that's why you start doing it. But if you don't have that confirmation from the light for whatever you desire, you're still doubting yourself. What are you going to do when you doubt yourself? Desire. Desire. What's the difference between big football player or big soccer player or big tennis player or basketball, whatever it is, they truly desire, while they're doing terrible, that they're going to make it. They believe. They desire it while it's not, because they didn't stop desire. Usually when you lose, all right, 9 minutes to go to the game, forget about it, give up. Give up is a desire to do what? What does give up mean? Desire for what? Huh? No. Desire to rest. You have a desire to rest more than to win. Your desire, it's always you have to check what type of desire do I have. If my desire to rest becomes stronger than the desire to rest, to win, you have to rest. When you have to rest, you have to go rest on the bench and you're going to lose. But at least you rest. People who do sport, for example, I talk to many people who run a lot. It's amazing. Those people who run like marathon. When I talk to them, there's something amazing about those people. I met many of them. They do the three things, like the swimming, the bicycle, and the running. Yeah. Wow! What a brain. So one of them is this great guy, doctor, that I used to talk to for 10 years. And he told me there is a moment, he's a surgeon, that your brain starts to talk to you and tell you, what are you doing? Maybe it's time to stop. Come on, let's just go home and rest and drink a beer, enough. The desire to rest becomes stronger than the desire of the effort. So you gotta always check your desires levels and what you really want. Most of the time we fail, not because God don't want to give it to us, it's because our desire not strong enough. Every person meant to be famous, rich, beautiful, everything, all of it. It all exists within the light of God. It's all. All of it, all this spectrum exists in the light of the Creator. Not everybody going to have it. It's up to us. So I just want to finish that before I call Debbie. שהאור העליון לא נתפעל כלל מן הצמצום ולא שינה דרכו חס ושלום. When the vessel decided not to want, the light didn't care about it. The light continued to give. אלא ממש כמו שמאיר באינסוף ברוך הוא, כן מאיר גם את הצמצום לאחר הצמצום. The endless light still shining the same way as it was before the צמצום. Even today. Can you imagine? Nothing changed. Nothing. כל העולמות, אפילו בעולם עשייה, even in the world of action, where we are. בלי שום הפסק אפילו לרגע. אלא הכלים עצמם עושים את כל השינויים האלו. The vessel, the receiver, making all those change. כי אינם מקבלים אלפי מידתם, דיין ומידת הרצו לקבל שבהם כמבואה. So, when we look at people, we are looking about different type of desire that exist. That's it. People are level of desire, level of appreciation.